Hi, this is Chris Bolin from ADI Lumberyard, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Catskill Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, on Tuesday, October 11th, we are tuning in the WGXC Congressional Report about what our local congressional representatives have been voting on, raising money for, speaking about, and more, and also what the candidates who want to replace them in elections this fall are talking about. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin from Troy is done with this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
On air, in air, channel, connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network.
This is the
news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
On Sunday, October 9th, turn out or tune in to a performance of Elvis Perkins in Deerland at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Elvis Perkins in Deerland is Columbia County resident Elvis Perkins playing with Nicholas Kinsey, Brigham Bro, and Wyndham Garnett. They don't play too often out in the Hudson Valley, but they have played at the Newport Folk Festival and the Primavera Sound Festival. This is their first Hudson Valley appearance in a decade. To turn out or tune in, there'll be a live webcast at wgxc.org from 8 to 10 p.m. Sunday, October 9th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate. And do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. The Daily Freeman reports that absentee ballots for the upcoming general election are available now online.
by mail-in application or in person, but voters who decide to vote absentee can no longer change their minds and vote in person. Anyone who has been issued an absentee ballot cannot vote in person on a machine, authorities have said. Quote, this is true whether they have submitted their absentee ballot or not, unquote, according to the Dutchess County Board of Elections. Quote, should a voter desire to vote in person, they must complete an affidavit ballot, unquote. To apply for an absentee ballot, individuals can visit their local Board of Elections until November 7th. Voters can also call or email their local board with questions. Absentee ballots must be postmarked by November 8th, the final day of in-person voting, in order to be counted. The deadline to register to vote is October 14th. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Town of Lloyd Justice Court Judge Terry Elia was censured by the New York State Commission on Judicial Conduct on September 28th. A disciplinary censure is the second highest punishment the commission can administer, just below removing a judge from the bench. Elia was censured for potentially racist social media posts. Elias, and I quote, liked, end quote, several questionable posts on social media and shared a post with a picture of a Civil War soldier and the caption, and I quote, because Black Lives Mattered, end quote. Commission Administrator Robert Tembekian said, and I quote, said, a judge must be and appear impartial or public confidence in the integrity of the courts may be compromised. Extracurricular alignments with law enforcement entities, even in good cause, can be problematic. So, too, must a judge avoid partisan politics, except when running for judicial office, end quote. The judge agreed that she made mistakes. Elia said through a statement from her attorney, Deborah Scalise, and I quote, I made certain errors relating to my conduct in my private life via social media and volunteer work, which may negatively impact the public's perception of the judiciary, end quote. She added, and I quote, for that I am very sorry, end quote. Read the full story at Mid-Hudson.
Rachel Silberstein reports in the Times Union that Albany Med Health System and Columbia Memorial Health Boards announced October 10th that CMH President and CEO J.P. Callahan will retire by the end of the year. He will be succeeded by the hospital's current Chief Operating Officer, Dorothy M. Urschel. Callahan has led the hospital since 2013. During his tenure, he changed the way CMH delivered care by developing a network of community-based primary and multi-specialty providers in addition to hospital-based services, officials said. He was instrumental in the acquisition of the Green Medical Arts Center, which preserved access to specialty care in Catskill, and the addition of physician practices in Tannersville, Coxsackie, Cairo, and Catskill and to CMH. He was directly involved in significant additions to the main Hudson campus, including the construction of the Hudson River Bank and Trust Foundation Medical Office Building and the Kellner Wing. CMH also extended new medical services to Valencia and Copaig during Callahan's tenure. In 2016, CMH was affiliated with Albany Medical Center. Two hospitals became the first members of what is now the Albany Med Health System. In 2019, CMH terminated its childbirth services, forcing pregnant women in Greene and Columbia counties to travel to Albany for labor and delivery. Callahan sat on the Greene County Rural Health Board and will remain a member of the boards of the Bank of Greene County and the Cotterskill Commons. Urschel began her career as a critical care nurse and thoracic surgery nurse practitioner at the Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. She also worked as an acute care cardiac surgery nurse practitioner with Kalita Health in Buffalo. Urschel came to CMH in 2020 as chief operating officer. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that the state is attempting to get citizens vaccinated this fall for COVID-19 and the flu and are launching a public awareness campaign. State Health Commissioner Dr. Mary T. Bassett said, and I quote, this fall we have a simple message to New Yorkers, get your shots. We know that both flu and COVID-19 transmission will increase during the fall and winter seasons, and that both vaccines provide meaningful protection against getting very sick or being hospitalized. Vaccination for both flu and COVID-19 is recommended for everyone 6 months and older, and can be given during the same appointment. Everyone 12 and older should check whether it's time for a COVID booster. For those who are unsure where they are in their COVID-19 vaccination journey, talk to a healthcare provider or pharmacist who will help make sure you get the recommended doses, end quote. You can find a link on the WGXC Newsroom webpage to find an open appointment to get vaccinated. Read the full story at New York State of Politics.
Heather Bellow reports for the Berkshire Eagle that tobacco, seashells, cedar, and pollen are some of the earthly offerings cast into the Housatonic River on October 10th after more than 100 people prayed into them. An Indigenous Peoples Day celebration began at the Great Barrington Town Hall gazebo with singing and speaking before the preparation of the offering ended with a sacred ceremony and meditation at the river. It was a prayer to heal the river, suffering as it has from industrial pollution. Quote, the water will know everything that we have been praying about, talking about, unquote, said Jake Singer, Navajo medicine man, Sundance chief and activist for Native American veterans. Quote, the water is our mother, unquote. They also remembered the slaughter of 24 Narragansett people and thought of Native American women and girls who are 10 times more likely than anyone else to go missing or be murdered. The gathering came after a third annual weekend of events organized by the Alliance for a Viable Future. The Alliance's founder and executive director, Lev Nathan, said a delegation of Stockbridge Muncie Community Board of Mohican Indians and 15 tribal nations came together for the first time. So did the Northeast Indigenous Climate Council. For one of the nations, the weekend marked a gradual and recent homecoming after being pushed out of what is now the Berkshires 250 years ago. Sean Stevens, also Standing Eagle, chair of the Language and Cultural Committee of the from the Stockbridge Muncie Mohican, said, quote, when we were made to leave these lands, we were not appreciated. We were not wanted here. But now we can come back and we find an overwhelming group of people with open arms walking with us back, wanting to know our history, wanting to know our culture, wanting to know what wasn't taught in schools back then, unquote. Read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Kate Lisa reports for Spectrum News that New York's first cannabis crop is coming in now, and officials say it is large enough for retail stores opening later this year. Office of Cannabis Management Executive Director Chris Alexander said Friday, and I quote, we know now, having toured the state, that the crop will be ready, that it will be high quality, that it will be sun-grown, end quote. He added, and I quote, and before the end of the year, we'll have some of our dispensaries open, end quote. That's all state officials would say about the opening, that it will happen sometime in 2022. Governor Kathy Hochul has also said about 20 dispensaries will open each month after the initial launch. Alexander said, and I quote, we can't be more specific than that. It will be a rolling wave, though. We'll have them keep coming online as they continue to be secured and built out, end quote. Meanwhile, nationally, President Joe Biden is asking for a review of how marijuana is viewed under federal drug laws. And you can read the full story at Spectrum News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website. WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, patchy fog before 8 a.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny with a high near 66 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 46 degrees. And on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 67 degrees. And there'll be a chance of showers on Wednesday night, mainly after 2 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 53 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Tuesday, October 11th, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM WGXC, including at 9 a.m. It's time for the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes and the speeches and the campaign fundraising of representatives in the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts and the candidates who want to replace them in the elections that are held this year between October 29th and November 8th. Corey McClaslin beams in from Catskill with the Forgotten Geek Show at 10 a.m. At noon, Rob Saffer is overlooked from Ulster County. Then at 7 p.m., Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda talks about the latest films. Crawl Out from the Fallout has the latest music from Andy French at 8 p.m. And then Dan Seward beams in from somewhere in Columbia County. The Battlefield Earth Show at 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org. In the community calendar.
The archetypal student-teacher romance gets turned on its head in the U.S. premiere of Hannah Moskowitz's Sexual Misconduct of the Middle Classes at the Catskills Bridge Street Theater, October 13th through 23rd. The new play was the winner of the 2021 Canadian Governor General's Literary Award for English Language Drama, and it's showing Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Name, Patty Boom. Host of Vinyl Freedom. Where? WGXC, when? Every first and third Tuesday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. What? Streaming online at WGXC.org. What? Tune in for a genre shakedown, all kinds of choice cuts of wax for you and yours to listen to. Dig it.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, October 11th. Local early morning temperatures range from 34 in Ashland to looks like 39 in Catskill. Regional average soil temperature is 52 degrees. The closest possible snowfall today is 1,700 miles away in Wyoming. And keep in mind, if you don't hear me state that number, then I'm not seeing snow anywhere in the country. That doesn't mean it's not cold right here, though. Early morning temperatures are just above freezing for most of the area. Probably safe to assume the higher elevations are seeing frost very early on. A high of 68 happens at 3 p.m. The day ending a lot sunnier than it starts. Overnight temperatures fall to 45 degrees. Then, tomorrow, we get a high of 70. That comes with some stiff winds and a touch of afternoon wind gusts. 55 degrees overnight takes us into a wet and possibly stormy looking Thursday. A high of 68 is expected. Rain lasts all night, but Friday things dry out and we get a high of 65. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:28 a.m., low tide at 10:59 a.m., high tide again at 4:50 p.m., then low tide once again at 11:35 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 59 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6:08 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:59 a.m. Looking way up, we see things are calming down with no major plasma streams or CMEs currently expected to visit. Chances are at 45% for M and 5% for X-class solar flares. Solar wind speed is currently 483.9 kilometers per second at 5.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight with good conditions below 4 MHz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 134. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stuart Summer of Hillsdale, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXE sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXE.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Why did you say that? Aloha out there in Radio Land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music, plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles, alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
And voices. Listen to art and discussion. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to up and down. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to purple and green. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to the planet. Listen to ladies and dumplings. Listen to books. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to bath time and nap time. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to stars and stripes. Listen to Texas and listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Listen to clouds and leaves, bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
We'll be right back.
was Aaron Dillaway, who co-founded the band Wolf Eyes and has performed in this area at the Avalon Lounge and Bard College in recent years for Wave Farm projects. He's also been an artist in residence at Wave Farm several times. The song was called Blue Studies for Tom Smith, a fellow noise artist, Tom Smith, who passed away recently.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
I am shocked and appalled by the vicious attack on Kiev and other Ukrainian cities. Russia once again has shown to the world what it stands for. It is terror and brutality.
World leaders, including Estonian Prime Minister Kaja Kallas, denounced Russian military attacks on 10 Ukrainian cities. The UN has convened an emergency session of the General Assembly, and President Joe Biden spoke with Ukrainian officials about increased air defense systems.
You can count on us and me to continue this momentum to ensure that Indigenous communities have the resources they need to continue to thrive for future generations.
Department of the Interior Secretary and member of the Pueblo of Laguna, Deb Holland, wished Americans a happy Indigenous Peoples Day. As supporters mark the occasion in cities across the country, including Boston, Indigenous Peoples Day is meant to recognize the history and resilience of Native Americans. Supporters say they want more than just a federal proclamation recognizing the day. They want it to replace the federal holiday celebrating Christopher Columbus, who is known for his barbaric treatment of Indigenous people. University of Florida students and faculty interrupted an event attended by the school's next potential president, Republican Senator Ben Sasse. Protesters say Sasse's opposition to same-sex marriage make him the wrong candidate for the job. Sasse responded by saying the Supreme Court's decision on same-sex marriage is the law of the land. A small business advocacy group, the Job Creators Network Foundation, has filed a new lawsuit seeking to block President Biden's effort to forgive student loan debt for tens of millions of Americans. The group argues the administration failed to seek public input on the program, therefore violating federal procedures.
And so today, New York is acting, and these new laws today will ensure that we have more robust protections to stop people who pose a danger from obtaining guns.
New York Attorney General Letitia James applauded her state's landmark gun legislation signed in June, but a federal judge has now blocked key parts of the law, including efforts to ban guns from certain locations, like Times Square. James has appealed the ruling. Los Angeles City Councilwoman Nuri Martinez announced she would resign as the council's president following an audio leak in which she makes racist comments while discussing the city's redistricting process. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The effort to sow doubt in American elections has a new front, questioning the partisan affiliation of poll workers. Republican National Committee lawsuits filed in Arizona, Michigan, and Nevada claim that Republicans are underrepresented as poll workers. Chief election officials are calling it disinformation. The Washington Post and Arizona Mirror are reporting that the RNC filed suits in Maricopa County, Arizona, where the elections board is 4 Republicans and 1 Democrat. The RNC says that the county used 712 Republicans and 857 Democrats as poll workers. They argue that the long hours required, which may include nights or weekends, make it difficult for Republicans to be involved in the process. RNC Chair Rona Romney McDaniel said in a post that Republicans were, quote, shut out of the process. Similar lawsuits have popped up in Nevada and Michigan, each with the same approach. Chief election officials have not minced words. Maricopa County Supervisor Thomas Galvin, a Republican, called it a lie and said that he was, quote, sick of grifters attacking Arizona. County officials told the Arizona Mirror that the week before primary election day, there were still 220 open poll worker positions. Threats by election deniers have contributed to those shortages. September 29th, an Iowa man was arrested for threatening to hang a Maricopa County election official. We have links to articles and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
2022 new music there from Chris Forsythe from Philadelphia. The song is called Bad Moon Risen. This is the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representative Paul Tonko from the 20th District votes with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik, currently representing the 21st District, votes with Biden's positions 19.3% of the time. Democrat Pat Ryan just began representing the 19th District and has yet to be included in the rankings.
The Troy Record reports that Representative Paul Tonko and local environmental groups and advocates recently celebrated at Scodak Island State Park the House passage of his New York, New Jersey Watershed Project Act. The bill would invest $20 million annually to improve water quality and increase public access on the rivers. Tonko, a Democrat, said, and I quote, "Our waterways stand as economic drivers while also reflecting and upholding our rich history. The New York, New Jersey watershed is America's most populated, driving tourism and serving as a community treasure for millions of visitors and residents alike. Despite this, our watershed remains underfunded and without key federal assistance, leaving it in greater danger from pollutants and at increased risk for floods that threaten public health, ecosystems, and industries," end quote. Tonko failed to pass what was previously called the Hudson-Mohawk River Basin Act. but at least got the renamed measure through the House of Representatives this year as part of the National Defense Authorization Act. Jonathan Kramer, president of the Hudson River Foundation, said, and I quote, "This legislation is a key part of funding research and scientifically backed efforts that will make New York's waterways more resilient to climate change," end quote. Tocco faces a rematch with Republican Liz Joy this fall for re-election in the 20th Congressional District. Read the full story in the Troy Record.
On September 30th, Congress took their final votes before representatives headed home to campaign in fall elections. On that final day of voting, local Democrats in Congress, Sean Maloney, Pat Ryan, and Paul Tocco, voted for cheaper insulin, with the providing for consideration of the Senate amendment to the bill H.R. 6833, Affordable Insulin Now Act, and providing for consideration of the bill H.R. 8987, Fairness for 9/11 Families Act, unquote, amendment. While Republican Elise Stefanik voted against lowering the cost of insulin, the measure passed 230-201. All four local representatives agreed to vote for the Preventing PFAS Runoff at Airports Act, which passed 381-42 on September 29th. The same day, only the Democrats voted for the Mental Health Matters Act, with Stefanik voting with all but one other Republican against in a measure that passed 220-205.
Zach Hurst reports for North Country Public Radio that Representative Elise Stefanik claims she brings $600 million into her 21st congressional district, but that figure is misleading. Scott Horton, the town supervisor of Caroga in Fulton County, supports Stefanik's record on agriculture and veterans issues, but he says he applied for federal grants through Stefanik's office to help with the repairs to a fire-damaged town hall and got rejected twice. Horton said, and I quote, "It was not supported by the congresswoman, and I think it should have been," end quote. Correction officers at the federal prison in Raybrook say the local prison workers union has tried to meet with Stefanik to talk about staffing issues, but she has not talked with them. While many supporters quoted in the story praise Stefanik for help winning federal aid, she also takes credit for money she did not help secure. A recent press release titled, and I quote, "Stefanik delivers over $586,000 for NY21 fire departments," end quote. But in fine print, the release acknowledges that Stefanik only helped some of the fire departments. Stefanik also has taken credit for projects she opposes. Last year, Stefanik described the American Rescue Plan COVID relief package as, and I quote, "filled with pork projects, special interest giveaways, and the far left's policy wish list," end quote. But after it passed, she sent out a press release celebrating a grant for the St. Regis Mohawk tribe with over $850,000 from the relief package that she voted against. A spokesperson for Stefanik would not directly comment on any of these issues, changing the subject instead. Starting in January, the 21st Congressional District will include Rensselaer County. And you can read the full story at North Country Public Radio website. Patricia R. Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. U.S. Representative Pat Ryan will sit down by himself for the Daily Freeman on October 21st, as Republican Colin Schmidt has refused to participate in the candidate forum for the new 18th Congressional District seat. Ryan, a Democrat and former Ulster County executive, currently represents the 19th Congressional District after defeating Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro in an August special election. Ryan agreed to the Daily Freeman's request to participate, while Taylor Wyeneth, Schmidt's campaign manager, declined several invitations by the Freeman. Wyeneth said in a September 24th email not accepting the invitation for this opportunity to debate, and I quote, "Assemblyman Schmidt is committed to making sure that voters in every county in New York 18 have an opportunity to attend the candidate debate this fall," end quote. Schmidt did not participate in a similar event with Ryan September 27th, sponsored by the Ulster County Chamber of Commerce. Anyone who wants to submit questions for Ryan for the event should send them to pdoxy at pdoxyfreemanonline.com. before October 19th. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Mm-hmm.
That was 2022 new music from Lucretia Dalt. The song was called Atemporal on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
A new affordable housing development is coming to Lake Placid, an area facing a workforce housing crisis. Fawn Valley, with 6 homes and 16 townhomes, comes at a time when much of the area's regular housing stock has become short-term rentals. That may benefit vacationers, but workers can't find affordable housing nearby. A 2020 report found the Lake Placid community needs over 1,500 workforce and affordable housing units. Steve Sama with Homestead Development, Fawn Valley's builder, says this project should make a dent in the crisis.
We feel it's really important that essential workers are able to buy a house or buy a townhouse, own their own home in the place where they work. We're dedicating 4 townhouses to the school district staffing and 4 townhouses to the local hospital for their staffing as well.
Sama says they've also made sure the Fawn Valley properties cannot be turned into short-term rentals. Instead, whoever buys them must live there. He knows this won't be the end of the housing shortage and says the plan is to continue building affordable units. He adds Fawn Valley will be completed by the end of 2023. Bruce Mazarski with the Housing Assistance Program of Essex County agrees this development will aid local people struggling to find a place to live. He notes originally it was aimed at lower-income families, but changed after developers saw the problem spread across salary ranges. Mazarski says there's been a different focus on housing needs in the area.
Most of the housing is done by private industry, by developers and folks who invest in the housing. So that's where the money had really been going, towards second home building and rental for vacation folks.
He's seen numerous community groups looking to create more affordable housing. Mazarski adds the rental market isn't what it needs to be, and higher prices are another deterrent to owning a home in the region. Lake Placid isn't the only area with an affordability issue, and Mike Borges with the Rural Housing Coalition of New York says price isn't the only reason rural areas of the state face housing shortages.
The housing stock in rural communities tend to be older than urban communities, and there is a lack of new housing being built. So the current housing becomes older, becomes more decrepit or run down, and we're constantly losing housing stock in rural communities.
Borges has seen an exodus of people from rural areas, even abandoning some homes, which exacerbates the problem. He hopes Fawn Valley will prove that affordable housing can be built despite the current economic climate. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
The
night light. So don't tell me of your troubles, your emotional grief. Taking the sights, this is shore leave. Don't talk of too long, unscrew your frown. Enjoy the entertainments of nighttime town. Experience the red rooms, the green tables, the souvenirs make memories haunting or fabled. The gallant mist of red-blooded chivalry instilled in basic training. By standing in line today, you secure a place among the saints. Go get them, son, now your life begins. To die for your country does not win a war. To kill for your country is what wins a war. Don't tell your name, don't ask for hers. In this land of oysters, you are the worm. The painless plainness of military life resumes tomorrow night. If not for you, it would have been cholera, malaria, or some eastern disease. Forget about it, son. A slap is all you need. Massacres of ages, too many to recall. Limbs rendered birds by the speed they flew off. A soup nothingness that once was your best friend. Motherless children and temptress widows. The wild, the useless, the dead, the untamable. Stay in the street, lucky I don't shoot on the spot. Our bullets were made for men like you, the impotent idiots God forgot. And tonight you decide which corner takes residence, which room looms forever in your mind. But now you're on your own, we don't need men like you.
Black MIDI with 2022 new music. The song is called Welcome to Hell.
What a show, elevator out of town.
Fire music.
Who's coming?
Brass Halo,
who's
Junkie Fries. Rice and beans, double fried, skins and brushes, glass and crash, symbol Wuhan trisphere, Baraka time calls upside the head of an Eastman school, and the wrong hands, must be left, must be used up American rag. Jasm copyright. Inferno 10 City. Skid Row San Francisco rasp. Laid in lies. Big Bang guns. Russell, Texas Parish rag. Fire music. Gut cold. Mind cave. Body lung feral. Woody Shaw elevator out of town. Fallout ratios.
who's coming.
From the 2022 album Jazz Codes, that was More Mother with Woody Shaw on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.